My job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
Welcome to the Black Girls Heal podcast, where we talk about healing our intimacy disorders, unresolved trauma, and building a healthy relationship with first ourselves and then others. Every episode, we will talk about advice you can apply today to break unhealthy patterns and grow in your self-worth. I'm Sheena Lachey, love addiction coach and trauma specialist. Let's begin. Hello, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Black Girls Heal. I am so happy to be with you today on this beautiful, beautiful Tuesday at the time that you're recording this, or the time you're hearing this. Today's episode is going to be interesting just because I'm recording this at 5 a.m. because I did not have any time to record it on my normal recording day. And I have to get this out to my editor by the end of today. But today I have a dance conference that I'm going to. For those of you who don't know, I love to swing dance. I love to Lindy Hop. And there is a big conference here in town. And I got to get there early for registration and auditions and all that stuff. So here we are. Even though I'm a morning person, I'm still kind of waking up. So I might sound a little bit groggy and a little bit more congested. I'm a little bit more congested in the morning, especially during allergy season. So y'all don't care. Today's episode, we are talking about three mistakes love addicts make when they are dating. We're going to help you avoid some of your common pitfalls to make sure that you choose partners that are not repeating your trauma, that you don't end up in situationships with, that you don't mistake love and obsession for fantasy, and that you're able to hold your own and own who you are and what you want in the relationship. So these may be things that you have already considered and you tried to implement. Some of them may be new. Some of these things may be things that you have heard before, but you know how sometimes you hear lessons over and over again, and one day it just hits different, it lands differently. That is a natural state of healing. That's a natural state of growing and maturity. You need different things at different seasons. So some of this, again, may be things that you are hearing at this time, in this moment, because it's going to hit you in a certain way, especially even those of you who are in committed partnerships, even those of you who are in committed healthy partnerships. There's usually something that you can glean from topics that are timely, right? So let's go ahead and jump on in and learn about three dating habits that love addicts make so that you can know what to avoid.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
So, before I jump in as well, just letting you know, the little one is here. I have not had Aiden. My son is Aiden. He's 5. He'll be 6 in May. There, in my earlier episodes, there might have been like cooing and stuff in the background if I couldn't like put him away. He has not made an appearance in a long time. I'm telling you that because in case today was one of those, hey, mommy's doing something, I feel it in the energy. So I'm going to wake up early and I'm going to come in mommy's bedroom. I'm going to come in mommy's office to see what's up. I might leave it in. If it's not too destructive or too distracting from episode, you might get to hear a little cute voice, which would be so cute to memorialize. Let me get back on topic before I start talking about my mom stuff and love how much I love this kid. So three mistakes for you to avoid as a love addict. When we are love addicts, we can fall in love with who we think a person can be, and to the fantasy image of the relationship that we want to have. I like to say when I'm talking about fantasy relationships that you can learn a lot from the types of fairy tales and stories that you would romanticize as a child, what your favorite ones would be if you were into fairy tales. If you weren't, then we can look at other things. But if you were into love stories and things like that, which were the ones that you really loved the most? Because they may be ways that you kind of either incepted how you approach relationships or some of your core values can be reflected in those relationships. So for me, two of my favorite fairy tales, princess stories growing up, the first one was the 12 Dancing Princesses. That is still, I hate that it
and never got enough traction to have a longer, more major studio feature version of that storyline. And it was always like maybe after school mini shorts or something like that, that it would come out. But I love the 12 Dancing Princesses because it involved the concepts of being whisked away and in a magical land where you could dance all night, where you were the most beautiful person in the room, where evil and controlling parents couldn't stop you from love and from having a good time. And of course, still having someone come in and say, you know, you are the one that I want, you know, the prince in the end that ended up finding out about the enchantment and finding out about the secret of the 12 dancing princesses. And then the stories that I liked, you know, him falling in love with one of the 12 princesses versus, you know, being gifted one property. Kind of ignore that one. But again, these concepts of like romance and fantasy and being whisked away and just relationships being the gateway to which you can have be freed from the shackles of emotional stress, emotional abuse, physical restriction, and finally, just actually being free and being able to hold your own. And so for me, I would see relationships in that way. I would see the people that I was dating as through this relationship is how I'm going to get the life that I've always wanted. This person, this relationship is going to be my gateway to adventure. It's going to be my gateway to the life that I couldn't imagine myself. The life that we're going to build is going to be this fairy tale adventure of magic, of intrigue, of beauty, you know, being able to wear beautiful gowns. shout out to Aretha, rest in peace, you know, and just having this adventure where you dance all night and like, this is going to be fun. And I'm finally going to be free from the responsibility of life. But Cinderella, I know I've shared this before, just really quickly. Cinderella, I really romanticized, especially in the classic version of Cinderella, Disney's version from the 50s. You know, if you're good, if you're a good girl, if you take the emotional stress and abuse of everything else, one day you will, of the stepmother and the stepsisters and everything else, and kind of feeling alone and having to create your own little magical world just within yourself and find your own safety within yourself. And there's really oppressive castle that in another land would have been made for you, but you just kind of resigned yourself that this is just how it is. One day you're going to find a relationship. One day you're going to find a person that is going to see you and see beyond everything else. And it's going to be kismet. And, you know, he'll forsake all the others just for you, you know, and rescue you. And of course, those are the types of relationships and fantasies that I would seek out instead of understanding that the real power starts within me. To understand that the things that I was going through, yes, they were horrible, or yes, they were emotionally stressful. And there was a lot of themes of emotional neglect and feeling like I had to create my own little internal world. But finding relationships, romantic relationships, was not going to rescue me from the wounding of that. That's something that many people who have been able to break these patterns will tell you. If you are blessed enough to find someone who is your best friend, who is someone who ends up being a life partner, you still have to work on your own stuff. You still, if anything, you have to work on your stuff even more because you have this really amazing person and relationship that you want to learn how to receive from, that you want to learn how to give to, that you want to be able to see the magic that is there without all of the years, decades worth of betrayals, of disappointments getting in the way, for you to not project your own insecurities onto this person. That because it is so hard when you're in a relationship with someone who just wants to love you, and it's hard for you to actually be there and be grounded and be present because you got trust issues, right? It's not a good experience for you or for them. They just want to watch a movie with you. They just want to romance you. They just want to take you out to dinner. But you can't let yourself be happy because you've learned, if I let myself be happy, this is going to go. This is going to disappear. Either they're going to cheat on me, they're going to change their mind, this is going to fizzle at the end. I have to be the person who's super aware about all the threats of the relationship. So even though I'm hopefully at a place where I've picked a partner that is faithful and clear about their intentions, I still don't trust it. And I got to keep my eyes open for any interlopers that may come around, right? So I'm telling you all of this for a reason. I'm talking about the fairy tales because with the examples that I'm going to give today about some of the mistakes for love addicts to avoid when dating, we can look at some of these messages that even as grown adults, as we've tried to deconstruct the messages that we've learned and the miseducation that we have had, both from popular culture, from our communities, from our family systems. These are some secret ways that we might still be being influenced by them. So just want you to keep that in mind as I talk about these mistakes. So the first mistake for you to avoid is falling in love with potential. So this is an obvious one, especially if you've been listening to this podcast for a while. Falling in love with who a person could potentially seeing once you kind of rub off the dirt off their collar. You know, for those of us who love antiquing or finding a good steal at a thrift shop, you know, you're able to see something through all the rough environment, right? You're able to see a diamond in the rough and pick out a jewel. And you love, love, love the dopamine rush of when you find something that is a very clear score in the midst of all the rubbish, right? And some of us have perfected that in looking in a crowd of people and finding what we think is a diamond in the rough, seeing the best in people, hearing what we want to hear instead of taking people as face value with what they are presenting and what they are telling us. So if we meet a person as a dating prospect who tells us they are in transition, us being like, okay, they're in transition. What do they say is coming next in their life? Okay, they say they have a promotion that's coming. They say that they are planning a big move because they're starting a startup. They say that they are planning a big move across the country and they're maybe going to come here to where I live because I met them and right now we are a long distance. They say that they are in the process of therapy to work through some anger issues, that they are in the process of learning how to not be angry at women because it's recently been revealed to them that they have some mother issues. We hear all this and we will interpret it that, oh, this person is aware. This person has a plan. This person is on their next step to make something big and different in their life. And we will think that because when we say we're going to do something, we're actually going to do it. So we will take this person's word at face value versus what you actually have in front of you as someone who is not where you would want them to be. If you want a person who has a certain job title, level of financial security, financial or career success, when this person is in transition on that way there, you need to see this person as where they currently are, not where they could be. If you have someone who is in between homes and figuring out where they're going to stay, but they have big plans about a house, you know, they're saving for their deposit because they don't want to waste their money on paying for rent. Maybe they can actually even show you the amount of money that they have in a bank, but they are still homeless. Do you need to pay attention to that the person that is your dating prospect is homeless? Not that they will have a home, not that, you know, they'll take you on house tours or apartment tours or condo tours and everything. And your eyes will get big and glittery about the life that you can build because this person is involving you in the process. You are already in the fairy tale. You have already stepped through the glass window to go into a magical land that doesn't exist, that you can be swept away in and dance all night and have the time of your life. And you see this person as your way to that lifestyle. And this is for everybody. This isn't for people who are just more obviously dependent on romantic relationships. This is for those of us who are really independent in a lot of ways. We are really self-reliant. It's because I heard a clip of a Jill Scott interview that's pretty old. And this is a very big paraphrase. But she was saying, yeah, I love self-love. Yeah, I can do all these things for myself. I can take myself out. I can go on a picnic. I have hobbies and everything. But I like to be in romantic relationships. She said it a lot more gruffly than that, a lot more direct than that. For those of you who know the clip I'm talking about, you know, see, I like sexual intimacy. I like to be held. And it's different, right? So us being honest about that is not a sign of weakness. It's not a sign that our personal work is something that is all for naught. We're not trying to heal ourselves out of wanting to have romantic partnership if that's something we want in our life. It's that we are learning how to prioritize it and rank it in a different way. For some of us, we have idolized it so much that we will run off into the sunset with people who are giving us very clear signs that they are not it, which is what this point is about. People who could give us the white knight on the horse experience. So we need to start listening to people. If they say that they are in therapy, this is a really big one. If they say that they are in therapy to work on insert red flag issue, they currently, in this moment, have this red flag issue and it may not be gone in the future. In fact, you need to bank on loving people and getting to know people with where they are, not where they could be. You are not a builder. I say this as an oldest daughter who has had to work through her own habits of codependency, and it was my responsibility to fix people. It was my responsibility to fix my parents. It was my responsibility to fix and maintain my siblings. It was my responsibility when I went to school to be the leader. So I'm over student organizations. I'm over group projects. Like, it's my job to project manage every person and build their life. I had to stop learning how to stop picking up projects. I had to start to learn that sense of familiarity and comfort that I had with certain men that I would date was because they had some issue that I could help rehabilitate. And that's what I was attracted to, right? Versus learning how to work on my self-esteem and my self-image to where I felt deserving of someone that didn't have to come with a set of instructions and a set of, hey, by the way, some of these pieces of this person may be missing. It's my job to figure it out. These people were human puzzles that I got to put back together. And I had to learn how to stop doing that. The reason why I really want to highlight this emotional awareness one is because I think before I started this podcast, I don't know if the way that I just described that one was as prevalent as I think it is, if it's not currently, but it has the potential to be in the future. I think up until now, a lot of potential partners would just say where they are. So yeah, sometimes it's hard for me to communicate. Sometimes it's hard for me to do insert behavior. But I think now a lot of people, especially predators, will weaponize and talk about how they're going to therapy. Either they're going to therapy now or they want to go to therapy or how they've been to therapy before. Because there are a whole lot of women who have started to express that as a requirement. They want to have a partner who is currently doing their own emotional self-development and building. They want someone who is emotionally aware. And that is now something that they're more likely to write someone off. So especially predators, but a lot of people, they have learned that this is what's attractive to potential partners. So they will drop in a line about therapy. They'll drop in a line about what they learned from David Goggins. They'll drop in a line about some type of insert healing guru, Brene Brown, you know, especially if it's a woman, you know, they'll insert that and you will take that as, oh, wow. This is someone who's on the same page. No, girl, you need time to watch, to shift out what's real, and to not be so easily impressed. You can and you will find chemistry with so many people on this earth. Chemistry does not mean that this is your person. Chemistry is a biological response that tells you that you are physically attracted to this person. Your physical attraction can be simply because this person is your type. It could be that this person is physically your type, not only because of their physical features, but also because of the energy that they have. They got the same energy as your daddy. And so that's why you like them, because they got that voidant energy. They got the same energy as your mama. That's why you like them, because they got narcissistic tendencies going on. You know, like, that's why you're so attracted to them. And so we need to learn how to be wary of our type, especially if we haven't done the work that we need to break those cycles, right? Just having awareness of this is not enough, because sometimes the physical draw that we have to people is what keeps us in situationships, is what keeps us answering the text, is what keeps us from not wanting to do no contact because we want to keep them in our life or stay friends with them or whatever it may be. Because it's something deeper going on. This podcast has never, and I don't have any wood to knock on, but at this point, will never just be about, hey, here are some classic dating tips. I'm going to bring it back to your childhood trauma. I'm going to bring it back to why we need to heal from this, that we need to do deeper work to break these things, especially if you've been trying for years and for relationship after relationship to get out of it. We got to say, okay, there's something that I'm missing, and to go to deeper work.
We hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. Let's take a quick break to say thanks to this week's sponsors.
So I am now a couple of months into my Skims journey as a newbie, and I'm still kind of sold. You may remember how last month I shared how I tried the Fits Everybody collection by Skims that focuses on the best comfort intimates and found them so soft, stretchy, and comfortable. I loved how they fit so well under my outfit seamlessly, and they also came in so many shades. I got several.
that were so great for skin matching and fitting the vibe of whatever I was wearing. The triangle bralette is still my favorite. It's the perfect shape for me, super lightweight and surprisingly supportive, as I have a lot to carry up here and I forget that I'm wearing it, but it's the perfect addition to my loungewear as well. The Fits Everybody collection is available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X, and you can shop now at skims.com and Skims stores. After you place your order, be sure to let them know I sent you, select podcast in the survey, and be sure to select my show in the drop-down menu that follows.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
So that's mistake number one. Stop falling in love with potential. Listen to what they say and where things exactly are in black and white and make your assessments from there. And understand you are not being mean and judgmental. The worst thing that you can do actually with a person is to meet them and say, okay, you know what? Who you are right now is not good enough for me. So here's how I need you to change, right? Just consider it this way. If you were dating a person and they were like, okay, these things that you say that you are and where you are, I don't like them. And this is what you need to do to be with me. Instant, right? You're like, who do you think you are? And also, I love myself and I'm looking for someone who loves me where I am and doesn't require me to be this impossible level of perfection in order to want to be with me, right? You would not like that. And so we need to use the same mirror when it comes to partners. However, some of you, I need you to not hear what I just said and undo all the points I was making with this point before, because some of you will hear that and hear, yeah, I can't require people to be this impossible level of perfection. Everybody has their issues. Girl, don't use that to ignore red flags. What I'm saying is that you get to have your standards. And if this person doesn't match your standards, you do not have to do gymnastics. You do not have to do mental, backbends in order to connect the dots with this person. You can move on. And some of us may need to move out of mental poverty mindset and lack when it comes to this in order to see the world as more abundant. Okay. Mistake number two to avoid as a recovering love addict, because we're claiming recovery for us in 2025 and beyond, is staying past initial red flags. So let's say you missed some things. Let's say that with everything that you know, you were even trying to invite community to be a part of it. Let's say somehow someone got through the system. They got through the walls. They got through all the safeguards you had. And now you are starting to see that everything that glitters is not gold. And you've started to see red flags and things that would not fit well for you. If you continue to stay, then that is a concern that you need to look at. Why did I stay past once I started to see that this person was not going to work for me? Sometimes the red flags are apparent from the beginning, but you don't see them because the red flags have been so normalized for you, or you feel like there are so many other positive benefits to the relationship that outweigh or outrank or cancel out the red flags that you see. So this person is funny. You have the same values. They love the Lord. They have a great relationship with their mom. They da 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 da. And so when you see that it's hard for them to respond back to your messages, when you see that they really shut down when they get angry, or they tell you stories about how that's how they've handled things in the past, but they want to do things differently now, which should be a red flag. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. I want to go to Tokyo's Disney World, right? Like, that doesn't mean that I'm about to hop on a plane right now. It doesn't mean that it's going to happen in the future. You know, I can have a whole list of things that I want to accomplish and have, but that's different than me being in action for it right now. So all of these things are really important to pay attention to. And once you are committed, it's about you having the bravery to leave. The bravery, the self-respect, the inner knowing, the faith. Where do we put our faith in our relationships? Now, sometimes this can be a hard concept because We also know that relationships, when you're joining two people, even people who are securely attached or people who are self-aware and working on themselves, you're still going to learn how to norm differently. You know, the way that one person communicates can be healthy, but they may have a different set of expectations than the other person who also is a healthy communicator. So one person may need to take timeouts when there's a disagreement, and another person is like, hey, I really love you and I care about you, and I don't want us to have something that might be small or even big be a deal breaker between us. Let's talk about this now. Both of these people are right, you know, but those two ways of approaching a disagreement or a conflict will have some friction until they learn how to work through what each person needs and the standards that they have set. So we can know this. And when and if red flags may pop up, we can say, well, all relationships need to have their work together. Like we need to work through this and communicate through this. When if you were to tell this scenario to a girlfriend or to somebody else, it'd be very clear that you're like, wait, these set of actions and behaviors, yeah, this is normal couple stuff. This stuff right here, this is something that you'll be dealing with for a long time, or this is something that they have to work through. And so you need to see that this gap area that they have, can you be with this person if it never changes? Some of us, again, those of us who are prone to love addiction and romanticizing relationships, especially if you have had Cinderella-esque fairy tales be your prototype, be your blueprint for a good majority of life, some of you will hear me say that and be like, yeah, I can. Like, I love this person so much because you have learned how to sacrifice your needs and your emotional health for the betterment of the relationship. You have been praised for being a martyr. You have been praised for being so needless and wantless, right? Which is totally Cinderella. Cinderella was so happy living in scraps and living in the top of that dusty attic and being kicked, literally kicked, and emotionally and verbally abused, right? She still had this beautiful aura and she was still loved dearly by the little mice. And by that grumpy old dog, you know, and then the prince came and rescued her. It all worked out in the end because she was so good and so needless and wantless. She got a magical fairy godmother, right? Who gave her the most amazing experience of her life. And there was music and the king star. The whole room stopped because this beautiful spirit that was so good at rising above the dismay and the neglect, she got the prize at the end. And so some of us have romanticized being emotionally, mentally, spiritually kicked and disappointed and neglected. And we think that it's all going to wash out at the end, in the end, and it doesn't. It doesn't. That is propaganda. And I hate to say it as a Disney lover, that is propaganda that has kept many of us bound and locked. And as grown adult women with mortgages and 401ks, it has kept all of us, many of us, caught in these cycles of emotional neglect and abuse with people who cannot, will not, or don't want to, they don't know how to give us what we need, that we think it's all going to wash out in the end. And it doesn't. It absolutely doesn't. You can have your needs and your wants. You can be in a relationship with someone that you really want to go the distance. And you can say, I understand that you want to give this to me, or even that you acknowledge that it's something that I need, but you can't do it right now. And I need to be in a relationship with someone who can. I need to be in a relationship where this is not an ongoing conversation every day, every week, right? To where I have to watch and also project manage. So let's go to tip number three, which is one I actually don't think that I've shared here on the podcast, or if I have, not recently. But there are a mistake that dating addicts, love addicts will do when they are dating. A mistake for you to avoid as a recovering love addict or an aspiring recovering love addict is to make dating your hobby, that you are filling up your week with date every night or every other night, right? That it almost becomes part of your personality or an obsession where you are dating like it is your job. Now, I've heard some interesting takes on how we will do a whole lot of work and we will understand that it takes effort to create the career that we want. We will understand that we need to put an effort to create like a lifestyle that we want. But when it comes to relationships, we think it's just supposed to magically happen. I actually really appreciate and like that take because it puts a lot of self-accountability on us to understand that, yeah, this, when it comes to this, especially for someone who wants to be in a long-term monogamous relationship, while it does happen for some people where their best relationship kind of falls into their lap, you know, one of those love at first sight, or this person who there was that invisible string, and when the time is right, y'all come together and it's really easy from the beginning. For some of us, we either have to do the work that's needed, the self-reflection work, to be able to be in a place to where we can receive it when it comes, right? Not that it prohibits it from coming to us. I do not buy into the whole, you have to earn love. Like you have to be in this magical yogi, you know, nirvana state of enlightenment. And then that's when love is going to come to you. I feel like that's very damaging, because I feel that we are all deserving of love. And that sentiment where it expects perfection, and that if you don't have love, it's because you're not good enough. I hate that. I just feel like that's so destructive, because I know for sure I watch people all the time, imperfect people who are in relationships, because to be human is to have moments of growth and places of growth, you know, but it's about finding that person that you want to grow together with. This belief that you need to put in work, or this philosophy that you need to treat dating relationships as a job, I think has a lot of merit to it. But when we look at doing this as a love addict, remember, there's a lot. The reason why I created this podcast, and I've shared my story too, is that there's a lot of dating and relationship advice that is great for people who are securely attached. It's great for people who have not used relationships, intrigue, dopamine hits between sexual conquests and contact, and romantic fantasies as a conduit to heal something within themselves. For people who are better when it comes to self-control and having set boundaries and having a place where they set their standards and have more confidence when it comes to saying yes and saying no to certain deal breakers and relationships, that type of mindset is great. For those of us who are consciously or subconsciously looking for the one because it's going to help fix us, then that is very dangerous, because it's giving us a free pass to continue to idolize relationships, to idolize every date, to idolize who this person could be in our life. And it makes us more prone to make mistakes. So for those of us who we deal with this, I think that your best bet is to build the life that you want now. You're not building the life that you want in the interim while you're waiting for your partner. You're also not building a life so that it can be like a magical bait to the universe to call in the person that you want. You know, so I'm starting to do hobbies because I want to find a partner that's going to do these hobbies with me. No, I'm doing these hobbies because it's what brings me joy. It's what brings me light. I am building my own personal maternal tribe and family because I want to have chosen family. I'm not waiting until I find a partner so that they can be my family, right? I've had all this trust issues. I have been disowned by my family members. I've had to disown them. I've had to create distance, like maybe where there's none of that estrangement, but I've had to create distance with people who I thought were going to be close to me, to my friends that I thought were going to be my best friends forever. So I'm kind of floating in life on my own. So I'm hoping that one day I'm going to find that person who's going to be, where it's all going to make sense why everything didn't work out, right? So I'm creating all these relationships in the interim or in the meantime so that I can have this person to enjoy these relationships with. Not that these people that I'm creating these relationships with, it's possible that they could be my soulmates. It is possible for us to have soulmates and friendships. It's possible for us to have soulmates and family relationships, right? And then the romantic partners that we have are just on top of the love and the magic that we've already created. So we have to recenter ourselves versus making dating, romance, and fantasy be our number one gateway to pleasure and to love. So those are three mistakes for you to avoid. And I did good. This is a shorter episode, but that's okay. That's okay, because we don't have little feet coming in and interrupting us. But if this is a cycle that you are caught in, I encourage you to download our free roadmap. We have a free 5-step roadmap that will help you break these cycles. I give you the steps on how to break the cycles of love addiction, and also to break the cycles of love avoidance, which is where you will pull in people and there will be a reason why you may cut them off. You'll create distance. It's hard for you to let people in. Those trust issues I talked about a lot. being very overly reliant on self-independence and to the point that it's hard to let people in, even the people that you want. There, I have the steps on what that looks like. And also, as a part of these roadmaps, some of the main blockers that get in the way as well is listed in there. It's about a 12-page freebie and download that goes over those roadmaps, some other considerations for you to avoid as well, and next steps for you to take to break these cycles. So you can get that by going to blackgirlsheal.org/roadmap and download that for free. And I hope that you find it helpful. So that's it for now. I'm sending you all so much love, and I look forward to seeing you in the next episode. As always, take care of yourselves.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.